TNT Radio wants you to get on our soapbox because your opinion matters. Tell us what you really think at tntradio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox, lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Using science to debunk myths, from the pandemic to climate fraud. Thanks for listening to Sky Dragon Slaying on TNT Radio.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Sky Dragon Slaying, where we bring you the truth on science and current affairs the mainstream would rather you didn't know. I'm John O'Sullivan, CEO of Principia Scientific International. Joining me as usual is Texan engineer extraordinaire Joe Olson and Canadian space scientist Joe Posmer. In this episode, our special guest is Joachim Hergopian, a dedicated researcher, an independent journalist, a West Point graduate, former US Army officer, and author of Don't Let the Bastards Get You Down. He's here today to discuss with us other topics, apart from pandemic hoax and vaccine genocide, and the ongoing war in Ukraine. Hi, Joachim. How are you today?
Hello, John. And hello,
Joe. Great to have you.
And Joe.
Hello. Yeah, Joachim, you know, you've been on TNT a few times. You know, you're very much admired by my colleagues and I, because you're straight talking. You don't pull your punches. And we're really excited to have you on, and we want to get straight down to it with you. My big interest this week, two things have really caught my interest. First of all, this insanity from the foreign minister in Germany, who made the announcement Germany is at war with Russia. That's astonishing. And the other thing that really struck me is the gaffe with the Veritas undercover reporting, where we found a director of Pfizer admitting that they're all about gene therapy and conducting themselves in a way that modifies vaccines to our detriment. I mean, these are big stories for me. What do you think about those stories?
Well, I see 2023 as the year of revelations, where we get to the truth about what's really going on, what they've been trying to hide for years from us, and it's all coming out. So none of this is really a surprise at all. And I'm really looking forward to the aftermath of these revelations, which is, I expect that there's going to be a coalescing of the people against this movement of genocide. It's got to be out there on a widespread scale, where, you know, I don't necessarily believe that we have to have a majority, but, you know, we need more people to wake up. And it's happening with these kind of revelations. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, and I'm quite shocked that people aren't making more of a fuss about this. We know that Pfizer left it a few days, and they kind of brought out a meek, mild acknowledgement of this statement that they do have, you know, the kind of agenda here. And it all comes together, doesn't it? It does seem that it's all to do with depopulation. If we have World War III, that's one way of solving the population crisis. If we kill people with toxic vaccines, another way of solving their problem. The elite want us gone from up their planet, don't they? They think we should be down to about 500 million, I believe, that Agenda 21 is advocating. And Agenda 21 has been around for a while now. It's now Agenda 2030. My colleagues, Joe Olson and Joe Posmo, we've known about this nonsense, you know, for many years. And, you know, as you say, we've got to wake more people up. We are getting there. It's frustrating, you know, because, I mean, we've been on it for 12 years. I know you've been on it quite a while yourself. And you've been
if I can interject something about that video of that Pfizer exec. I mean, what the message I got from that, just from his whole behavior, and then, you know, when they confronted him after, and this guy was like a rat in a cage, and he was just scurrying like a wild rabbit animal, trying to get away from his exposure, like a cockroach parasite kind of thing, you know, shed the light on them and they scurry. Anyway, the impression I got from all that is, you know how they are always about, oh, the flu virus mutates every single year, and every single year you need a new vaccine. They're probably just freaking creating these new ones every year, aren't they? And then they give you, and then they come out with a new vaccine for the new year, which never work. You know, they never work. They come up with a new vaccine that's supposed to be for the new flu this year, and then they never work because they're not supposed to work because the vaccines are poisons anyway. They're supposed to be poisoning you with them anyway. It's all just a story, you know, with the adjuvants that are in them. That's what they're actually delivering to you is the adjuvant, not a little virus particle that your body's supposed to. Anyway, what do you think of that, Joaquin? Do you think that's what it just seems to me? I mean, this whole healthcare system is a fraud. It's a parasitical system to make you sick, right? And that's what this guy is doing. Oh, they call it, what did he call it? He's calling it, this just mutation in research, but they won't call it gain of function research. I mean, that's what it is. It's gain of function. That's what they're doing. They're making it worse. They're looking at how they can modify it. Oh, I mean, come on. They're releasing these things.
Yeah.
It's called directed evolution. And the telling thing about
evolution.
His confession was that we can't control the way wild viruses are growing, and they're mutating beyond what our imagination was, even though that's only a minor mutation. So what we're going to do is we're going to create something that we know we can control, and then we'll create the vaccine for it, and then we'll release it, which is exactly what they did with the Wuhan. But getting back to the depopulation scheme, this started with Ehrlich's book, Population Bomb, which was published in 1968. So I've been skeptical of this thing my whole entire adult life, because these people are absolute monsters. And we'll get into a little more detail about Joaquin's research in his 5-volume set, Pedophilian Empire. Absolutely shocking.
Yeah. Just to give some context here, we are not tinfoil hat wearers. We are quoting directly from the undercover video. The guy in question is Jordan Tristan Walker, Pfizer Director of Research and Development. And the biggest quote that hit me was this quote, and I quote, "Don't tell anyone, promise you won't tell anyone. The way it," and referring to the experiment, "would work is that we put the virus in monkeys and we successfully cause them to keep infecting each other, and we collect serial samples from them." You know, as you say, it's all gain of function, Joe Olson, and it's shocking. It's that they're playing God, and they're doing it in such a way that they can get to the point where they can selectively take us all out if they want to. And you know, either they'll get us through medical procedures, or they'll get us through nuclear weapons in Ukraine. Joaquin, you know, give us your take on all this, please.
Well, another thing that struck me about Jordan is his childishness. You know, he said, don't tell a lot of tales here because, you know, we could get in trouble, you know, the teacher might, you know, punish us, you know. I mean, you know, and he takes everything as a joke. He laughs in every sentence almost. He's laughing. And it's almost like he's laughing at humanity, at the power that they hold over us, you know. But don't tell tales out of tale, you know, out of turn, you know, out of school, you know. It's just kind of comical, but, you know, the serious thing is they're talking about killing all of us almost. So, I mean, you know, you can't get any more serious than that. So, I mean, no matter how childish or you know, like he's playing it like a little game, you know, but it's a real game called death to 90 to 95% of all humans on this earth. You know, that's a rather serious matter.
Yeah, after watching the video, I wondered how that guy was able to ascend to that rank. And there was a great interview with Steve Kirsch and Dr. Peter McCullough. And McCullough did the research on the guy. He said he got his pre-med from Yale, and then he graduated with a medical degree from UT Southwest in Dallas. But he never went through internship or residency. He just went was recruited directly from med school into Pfizer. And so that's how he was able to go up the ranks, because he had the appearance of a qualified doctor. But here's the deal. What do you call the doctors that graduated in the lower half of their class? Doctor. You know, so maybe he was affirmative action all the way up to that point and then realized he was never going to be able to.
Yeah, it's affirmative action. Well, it's affirmative action. He's also homosexual. He was on a homosexual date.
He checks multiple boxes.
For the diversity, equity, inclusivity thing. So you can, a completely incompetent moron.
Yeah, the key is he fits the same mold as politicians, doesn't he? I mean, the idea here is you get the stupid people to be the front men and women. Behind the scenes, we know other people are putting the strings. And we know how they do it. They do it with bribery and blackmail. And Joachim, your book, you're an expert on this subject. They use paedophilia, don't they? And that is one of their main tools. They don't bribe you. They use the so-called honey trap. And for a lot of these people, they go for the ultimate trick, which is to entrap them and blackmail them with paedophilia. And it's something that time and time again, it's cropping up now. It seems like with all the leaks now of confidential documents in Washington, D.C., the only thing safe from being released is the Epstein logbook. Who are the clients on Epstein Island? We don't know that. But what we really do know is that it's a cover-up, isn't it? The FBI, the government agencies, they're working overtime, aren't they, to keep this thing under wraps?
Yeah, there seems to be a lot at stake here with that Epstein log, the flight log, and who went down there to his island, who was doing what to the children, you know? That's the name of the game, and it has been increasingly over the last, I would say, 60 years. They've been using entertainment figures, Hollywood. They've been using all the politicians this way. They actually go so far as to actually have a young woman at a party. They stick drugs in their drinks. They get them so they're intoxicated to the point where they fall asleep and they end up in bed. They throw a child in there and then they have the cameras running. That's the modus operandi of the Epstein-Maxwell operation that actually got started with Israel and their military intelligence working jointly with the CIA and MI6. We have to remember that Ghislaine Maxwell's father is Robert Maxwell, the quote, super spy, who was basically a spy for everybody. You know, he was a spy for Israel. He was a spy for Britain. He was a spy basically for Russia. And sometimes I guess he was even a spy for America, but that was the least one on his list of priorities because he gave away atomic secrets basically to the Israel. It's in deep. And then his other daughters, they were in the spy business as well. They basically, you know, use the internet. That's their source, you know, their software. They stole a software, by the way. And Senator Tower and Robert Maxwell went down to New Mexico, the atomic station down there, and gave it away and all the secrets. Yeah. So, I mean, they've been at this game, for a long, long time. And they realized that, you know, as more people become aware of what is really going on, that the jig is going to be up, that they're going to be, you know, found out about all these crimes against humanity. And they know it. And that's my premise for writing the last couple of articles, probably saying stuff like, in order basically to save themselves, they're willing to go full force ahead with a nuclear holocaust. That's how sick and desperate these guys are. Now, whether we have one or not, you know, I pray like everyone else that we don't, but I think that they are willing to do this because they have this illusion that they have these underground cities, a whole underground world down there, and a tunnel system with Mach 2 where they can do anything as far as speed goes. And they got the supplies lasting for several years. So I really think they can wait it out while havoc breaks on the Earth's surface. Most of us all die. And then they come up and clean it up, mop up operation with, down to that less than 500 million, you know. I think that's their game because everything is basically coming to a head, you know. They got everything going as far as all the multiple means of, what do they call it, the death methodology, you know. They got starvation going with the food source being dried up. They got fuel prices going crazy. They got the global economy smashed and collapsing and imploding now. I mean, they got everything going as far as crashing everything. So, you know, that's their great reset. So, yeah.
I'm with you on that. Yeah, and I like the fact that we haven't even touched on this other subject. Well, I mean, the third item of news I wanted to mention, I slipped my mind, was the issue of Justin Trudeau in Canada. And it's been revealed now by a brother, Kyle Kemper, who's come out and said that there was a scandal some years ago involving Trudeau when he was a school teacher, that he had an affair with a young student. It now turns out Carl Kemper, Trudeau's brother, said the girl in question was actually 12 years old. And the WEF and Klaus Schwab and all those cronies, they covered that up. And again, they're using it for blackmail purposes, aren't they? Because they've got the guy on a string every which way. And, it's something we want to get onto after the break. But we're going to cut for a short break now. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Hervoy Morich.
Cashless Society News. It was reported that the SWIFT payments network, SWIFT is like the international banking network system that is used by everyone. I've used it when I was in Kazakhstan to send money back home. The SWIFT payments network is going to cut access to crypto exchanges. Banks, including New York Signature Bank, will no longer process fiat currency transfers to cryptocurrency exchanges. This will thwart crypto access to potentially thousands of customers. But then get this, what happens next? Davos launched blockchain project aims to be the SWIFT of stablecoins and CBDCs, a SWIFT style system for bank issued and regulated digital currencies was launched by a firm involved in building China's national blockchain project.
Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Claims that renewables are cheap or will lower prices are proven false. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome back on the show, Joachim Hagopian. And Joachim, you've written hundreds of articles on many sites, new sites like Global Research, LouRockwell.com, and James Fetzer, and many, many others. You're a best-selling author. You know, you've got on Amazon, you've got a 5-book volume series entitled Pedophilia and Empire, Satan, Sodomy, and the Deep State. It's an A to Z, a source book for, global pedophile ring, and it's available free on pedoempire.org. And, you're doing great work. You also host the Revolution Radio Weekly broadcast, Cabal Empire Exposed, every Friday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern. You've been on this game a long time like us. You're obviously frustrated at what's going on. But we've got to get the evidence out there. And, just give our listeners some insight in the background of your work. I mean, the pedophile ring is extensive. We're talking about things like the Satanic Cult, the Masons, the Deep State, this is no longer just a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nonsense. This is actually genuinely evidence based, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, the powers that should never be have been using this as their MO for control over the government and basically for mass mind control via mass media. So yeah, I mean, they purposely seek out, you know, the little inner club that can be easily blackmailed, that are amenable to those kind of secret organizations, like you mentioned, the Freemasons and the Jesuits and all those kind, the Malta Knights. These are their secret organizations of the elite. And then they find these people that they can easily manipulate, and they're not very bright a lot of times. And so they're easily manipulated, and then they get caught up in it where they have to do what they're told if they're going to retain their rather affluent lifestyle, and if they're going to retain their reputation and sometimes even their life, because the evil ones in control have no qualms. First of all, they are psychopaths, which is a diagnosis of mental illness. And of course, that does not take away the responsibility they have for their criminal actions. So, yeah, that's how they use the lower levels that are within this cabal to exactly do what they're told, to maintain wars around the world. They create, you know, and finance both sides to every war, and they've been doing it since the Napoleonic Wars. And, you know, and it's basically the bloodlines, you know, the Rothschilds, Rockefeller. The Rockefellers took over the medical industry, the healthcare industry worldwide over the last century. The Rothschilds took over the banking industry, you know, over 200 years ago. And so now it's reaching the point where this very, very small, I mean, it's like 0.0005% of the population are running the whole show. And then they have these investment firms like BlackRock and Vanguard, State Street, and they're the shareholders that control every single major corporation on this earth. So it's like, you know, they have the mind control going through the mass media and all the movies, all the news corporations. They have the education system locked down with all these Marxist wacko kind of degenerates that basically play the game, and then they have the political structure all controlled through blackmail. So they got us locked up in this kind of literal lockdown with these fake pandemics and the kill shot. So they're going for gusto now on getting not just a small percentage, not a few million. We're talking about a few billion. You know, they're supposedly close to about 8. I think it's going down now since the kill shots are taking their toll. But, you know, we got, you know, expected near 8 billion people on this earth, and they want to knock it down all the way to less than half a billion. So we're talking about, you know, 15 out of 16 of us right now breathing air. They want to no longer breathe air and be dead. That's their game. And, you know, I mean, then we talk about this website. It's a military-industrial weapons website on the internet called Deagle.com, and they have traditionally made their predictions. They took it off now. They don't. You can go to Deagle.com, but you won't find the 2025 population predictions. But they have the predictions, you know, up until about a year ago. Every year they would do a new appraisal of the projected population of every single country. And they have America now from around 330 plus to 65. Oh, it went down as low as 65 million. And that's about close to 80% of our population dead by 2025.
Things got to wrap up quick then, don't they?
Yep. Well, they're in a hurry now because they know we're on to them.
Yeah. Yeah, another factor here is that the rate of death, I mean, the mistake they made is they didn't cover all the loose ends, because the insurance industry and funeral services, morticians, they're the ones who are kind of blowing the whistle, aren't they? Because they're seeing the amount of deaths coming through the system, the underage, the young people dying. And in the media, I mean, I live in South Wales in the UK, and Mark Drakeford is the leader of the assembly down here, and his wife yesterday died suddenly. And if you Google the term "died suddenly," it's going crazy, isn't it? Hashtag died suddenly. It's all over Twitter, and thousands of people are dying suddenly, and nobody's explaining why. And there's no curiosity in the media. And, you know, journalists used to do proper journalism and try and find the connection, try and join the dots. They don't do that anymore, do they? It's up to people like us. We're doing the hard yards, doing the legwork here, and it's pretty obvious. I mean, we point the finger, don't we? We kind of know what the cause is, and we've seen videos. We've seen the morticians. We've seen the autopsies. And the fibrous material that's coming out of the veins of the deceased, it clearly is not organic. It's certainly man-made. It's not human material. And there's no curiosity. And if you talk about it, if you refer to it, I'm still finding friends and colleagues who don't want to talk about it. And I'm sure you're the same. And we are at the point now where it's getting a crisis point, and it's a race, a race to see who can get to the finish line first. You know, will the globalist push the button, launch Armageddon, or will enough people wake up that we have such civil disobedience that we overthrow these corrupt institutions and take control back? Joachim, yeah, it's a race, but are you optimistic, or do you think that we might be losing that one?
To be honest with you, I fluctuate. I mean, on a good day, I think that, yeah, we are getting it, and changes are slowly beginning to happen. And there's going to reach that critical mass where things do start moving in a faster direction, in the right direction. Those are my days of optimism. But I also go through days where I think, that we're not doing it fast enough, and they're, obviously escalating their weapons of mass destruction against us. So, I agree. It's a race. It's a race against time to see who the last entity is standing, whether it's going to be these evil ones in control of everything on this earth, or the people that just want freedom and the life to be able to enjoy the sun and enjoy nature and enjoy their family and just all the benevolent good things. And that's the thing. They've been able to get away with so much, and there's such a slow pace of waking up because people, one, it's cognitive dissonance. Nobody wants to have to, wrestle with the belief that everything that they were taught, everything that they believe to be true is false. That's a big one to swallow. And the evil ones have taken advantage of that. And then they label us as conspiracy theorists, So that's the way to discard whatever we have to say, despite it being the truth. And all these different, quote, theories have been proven to be fact. They discard us that way. So, average, everyday, decent person cannot wrap their head around the pure evil as to what they do to the children and what they're doing to us. They are, I believe that first of all, they do not have a heart, and I believe they do not have souls. They basically are pure psychopaths, where they might be smart, intelligent-wise, where they can figure shit out and then be able to, take advantage of people. Oh, they're very smart along those lines. But as far as actually being real, as far as actually being able to experience empathy and real emotion, other than maybe anger and a desire to make people suffer, those are the kind of emotions that are limited to, because they do not know love is. That's why they have such contempt for humanity, because we have the capacity for love and to have empathy for other people, to be altruistic. These are foreign concepts to this foreign entity that's been in control of the earth for eons of time.
Well, Joachim, it's a good point that for, most people in the population, it's unbelievable, because it is unbelievable that we are lied to at the scale that we are. It's unbelievable that COVID would be a lie. It's unbelievable that vaccines would be a lie. I don't know what makes us special people. You know, we've discussed before in previous episodes, it seems to be our personality type. We're INTJs, primarily INTPs. But, you know, throwing out a black pill back to John about, you know, if it looks good or if it looks bad as far as the population goes, I mean, what happened during COVID? The vast majority of the population went along completely with it. It was a very tiny fraction of the population who were actually engaging in civil disobedience. Actually, you know, people like us rejecting it, not going along with the vaccines. People were more than happy to call the police on you for not wearing a stupid frickin' mask at the farmer's market or anywhere. You know, people were more than happy to pressure you and ostracize you for not getting vaccines. They were more than happy to see you kicked out of your job, laid off, fired for not wearing a mask at your job. So as far as, you know, that's a pretty big black pill. And, you know, I'll throw this out there. Maybe we don't need to live with those people anyway. Maybe those are the people, you know, if we're going to have a 90% reduction of the population or 95%, that's exactly the number of people who were acting retarded in the last few years, believing every single thing that was an obvious lie to us. I mean, wouldn't the world be a better place almost if we got rid of the people who are ruining it? I don't know. What do you think, Joaquin? Yeah.
Well, I mean, what you're saying is probably true, but, you know, the humanity in me, like I got family that, you know, I don't know how jabbed they are, but they're jabbed. They started with it anyway. You know, and it's hard to see people that you love die, you know? So, you know, but yeah, I get it on that level, you know, that the people that are basically automatons, unthinking, and have no discriminative ability for any kind of critical thinking. You know, I understand survival of the fittest, and okay, the more fit are the ones that are smart enough to get it and not get jabbed and die, you know? So yeah, I get that, all that. But we have a basically colossal humanitarian problem about, you know, so much of the percentage of the human population suffering and dying now. So it's hard for us to wrap our heads. And we try to, you know, consider ourselves realists about the stark reality and the horror of it all. But I don't even think I can wrap my head around how bad it is getting and will continue to get, because we're not even through the thick of it yet. We're just in the beginning stage of this war between good and evil. We're in the beginning still. There's so much more death to come. So yeah, it's scary to think about how bad it's going to get. But, you know, it's like we either roll over and die because that's what they want, you know, to have us all feel defeated, powerless, unable to change things. Oh, they got all the power. We can't do anything. I mean, that's another thing that they go on, is that they take advantage of that reality. And then they, you know, there's so much theater out there, scare tactic theater, you know, to make us more afraid. And when you're more afraid, you're more able to be controlled. And so, yeah, they got a lot going for them. But all we have to do is hold on to the truth and then stick it to them as activists for change. And that's I grant you all that may be asking the question, how do we do that? That's the big thing, is, you know, it's one thing to know about what you're up against. And that's what we're all about, is trying to get the truth out there so that we do know what we're up against. But it's the next step as to what are we going to do about it? That's the big thing. And when I'm asked that question, I start thinking in terms of, well, we got to go localize. We got to have people around us that we can trust. We have to have people who have the ability to be self-sufficient. You know, obviously, food source is everything to staying alive. So, you know, it's a matter of connecting with the farming community so we can bypass those huge conglomerate grocery store chains that are part of this, you know, Rockefeller-Rothschild system, you know, of total, absolute, centralized control. That's what we're up against, and we have to combat that at the local level. So that's a key part. And Catherine Austin Fitz, she knows a lot from the inside out. And she's always been advocating for a couple of years now. We need to get rid of our credit cards. We need to get rid of the whole, we need to go cash. Yeah, everything needs to be done in cash, because let me tell you, and I know you guys know about this, the World Bank digital currencies, they're issuing that whole rollout now. It's in process, and most of the countries are, you know, jumping on board, you know, because they have, you know, blackmail-controlled government politicians doing it. So, you know, we have so much that is coming at us, and it's a matter of us coalescing into some kind of, you know, mobilized force that can actually impact change. And granted, it's a stiff, big challenge we all face, but we got to do it if we're going to survive, bottom line.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think what we'll do is we'll come back to this subject after the break. This is TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Remember back in 2021 when Georgia passed new voting regulations into law? The media and the left went certifiably nuts, claiming without any evidence that the changes were targeting the African-American community and would make it almost impossible for many of them to cast a vote in that state. Voter suppression, they cried. It was Jim Crow, they claimed. And Major League Baseball was so offended that they moved the All-Star game, which was slated to be played in Atlanta that summer. Even record turnout during the 2022 midterms didn't stop the left from repeating false claims about the state of Georgia's election procedures. But a funny thing has happened. The University of Georgia has conducted a poll asking Georgia voters about their voting experiences in 2022. Guess what? 0% of blacks reported a poor experience. In fact, 72%, meanwhile, said that they had an excellent experience, the same as white voters. So, folks, this should finally put to rest that false talking point constantly spewed by the left in order to push their false narrative of black voters under attack in Georgia. Except it won't. In fact, the false claims will only get worse. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
In this day and age, everybody deserves the right to access phone and internet services. Whether you're from regional, rural or remote Australia, the Regional Tech Hub can independently assist with providing advice on connectivity options in your local area, or work with you and your service provider to resolve outstanding issues with phone and internet. And our service is absolutely free. Find out more by visiting regionaltechhub.org.au or by calling 1300 081 029. RTH is an initiative of the Australian Government delivered by the NFF.
Be a part of the conversation. Free speech has a home.
So give yourselves a round of applause.
Let's get on with the show!
TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome back. We're talking about Ukraine at the moment. We've talked about a bit of vaccine nonsense and paedophilia. Just to get back to where we solve the problem, we're talking about waking up the masses. We're actually waking up one or two international leaders who could actually be very instrumental in being part of the solution. And I'm referring to Viktor Orban, Hungarian Prime Minister. He actually came out last week furious about the statement that the EU and NATO could be heading for war with Russia. And he said, not on my watch. He's not having any of it. And, he's pretty adamant that this is not going to be the way forward for Hungary. And we need more leaders like that, don't we? We need more leaders prepared to stand up. And
he's the one bright spot, basically, in the European Union. I mean, and the leader of Serbia also has been somewhat more realistic and not going along with it. But Viktor Orban, he's the sole guy out there that's been critical. I mean, hopefully Meloni, the Italian prime minister, hopefully she'll come around. She's supposedly, been working with Viktor. One by one, I see the economic conditions in Western Europe just falling apart. And I mean, it's coming to North America as well. None of us are free of it. But the domino will start falling, and I believe it's going to be in Europe. And as people find it more difficult to survive through all the shortages and the cost of living expenses, I think that we're going to see changes changeovers in government, and we're going to find that some of the emerging leaders, I believe, will be on board for survival rather than total destruction. And the people, obviously, do have some say in this matter. And I hope that, you know, the downside of all everything falling apart is the destruction. But the positive side is that there are going to be people in that where the self-preservation instinct kicks in and they begin fighting for their survival. And I see that as a consequence of how bad things are getting now, that it's starting to turn around, I believe. And, you know, do we want to die or will we want to live? Well, I think most people would choose life.
Yeah, good point. I like the idea also.
Back to the Okay.
Sorry, Joe. I just want to add to reinforce your point. The idea that we've got Orban, but we've also got the BRICS nations. We've got them as a collective. And I think that that's the great thing, that the great own goal, the great disservice that NATO and the EU sanctions did was they compelled a rethink by the BRICS nations. They no longer can trust the Anglosphere, can they? I mean, what we're seeing now is that the BRICS nations are setting up their own financial systems, you know, in to replace SWIFT. You know, MasterCard is now being superseded. We're even hearing talk of some Middle East states abandoning the petrodollar. These are things we need to hear more of. And I think that empowers other smaller nations to actually join the BRICS. And I think that's what we probably want. And Joe Austin, I'll defer to you now. Carry on.
Yeah, back to the Daigle estimate of 65 million Americans, considering that the CDC is saying that 65% are currently jabbed with a slow death kill. But what they're also not mentioning is that these are sterilants. They're killing the ovaries and they're killing the sperm so that we will not have a second generation from the people that have been jabbed already, in addition to the ones that are going to die from that. But then we also have 5G, which people don't realize. The 5G, when you're sitting around with a laptop, you're inches away from your ovaries or your testes, and we are sterilizing our children with their addiction to these 5G death rays. So that's another factor. And then getting back to Annalena Baerbock, who's the one that was in the Bundestag that said that we were at war with Russia. She's 42 years old, has an undergraduate degree in political science. She attended the London School of Economics, which is a WEF grooming site in London for 1 year. And she's been leader of the Green Party and been in the parliament for only 10 years. But because the Green Party been able to surge because of green propaganda by the poor Germans, she's placed in a position where she can make those kind of statements. But she's getting a lot of pushback. This just came in. Sarah Wiedenock, member of the Bundestag, said on Friday, "The statement by Baerbock that Germany is at war with Russia shows she is not up to her job. The Secretary of State should not be the top diplomat and not like act like an elephant in a china shop and trample our country's reputation." So the pushback is going to be broad, and we'll get into a little bit later all of the different – I've got 11 different color revolutions that NATO staged against Russia starting in 2003, and we'll paint the picture of how we actually got into this trap and why Putin is doing the only option that we've given him. And he's the only statesman on the world stage. It's absolutely shocking.
Yes, good point.
Yeah, I see basically the German defense minister, she was also a woman, and she was coming out with those same kind of hawkish statements, and she's gone. So, yeah, I mean, I think that there is some movement in the right direction because there is pushback. You know, people are tired of hearing these insane kind of statements of death and gloom. People are tired of it. And so we're pushing back big time. And I think that there are judges and cases going around. I mean, basically, they finally, after so much destruction, they managed to get rid of the mandate on the vaccines for the military. Now, obviously, there's a lot of damaged soldiers, you know, that are permanently injured and many dead that we haven't even heard about. I know that they were saying something of upwards of 1,100% death rate increase amongst our military. And these guys are relatively fit and healthy. So, I mean, you know, we have a lot that we have to go against. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that that I saw a statistic earlier this week where they showed that the amongst elite athletes in the US, elite athletes between 1964 and 2004, 1,100 elite athletes had suffered a cardiac arrest. In the last 2 years, that figure has been surpassed in just 2 years to 1,500. You know, this is an eye-opening number, isn't it? We're seeing it every week now. We're seeing elite athletes who are collapsing, you know, suddenly, you know, taking ill on the field of play.
Well, and to add to that, John.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, one theory that I just read about this somewhere is that, you know, these athletes are, you know, working their body very hard. You know, imagine a soccer player, you know, their heart is pumping like crazy. You know, the blood is pumping through their veins like crazy. So the theory was that, you know, this effect is hitting them first just because of the rate of cardiovascular activity that these people are engaged in. For the rest of the population, it's simply a delayed effect. It's there and it's going to happen, but it's a delayed effect. That's why they're seeing it in these athletes first of all places. But I suppose that there's actually a logic to it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I mean, I've seen medical experts on our side of the fence who said it can take 3 to 5 years for the long-term effects of these toxic jabs to really, you know, really take hold. And I think it's the whole point of it is they didn't en masse poison everybody. There were you know, placebos, weren't they? I've seen evidence where people have claimed that, you know, to hide their mischievous intent, a lot of saline solution was used in the injections. And I think that's just shows the psychopathic tendency, isn't it? The idea that they're very deceitful, they're very cunning, they've got high intelligence usually. We're dealing with people who are very cunning, and I think that's a good word to use, cunning. Joachim, your military background, you know this is how military works. It's how you do things. You do things by stealth, don't you?
Yeah, that has been their MO. Mode of operation is that. Basically, you know, one of the things we touched on it just earlier, this whole thing about Ukraine, you notice how the whole pandemic, you know, finally the overreach was getting to the people. There was pushback. We had, you know, the Canadian truckers and all of that, you know, rally around. We even had Reiner Filmick, you know, file the thing with Hague. You know, we got our expectations and hopes up there. But, you know, the upshot of all that is that they ended up doing a wag the dog and switched over to Ukraine, basically, where that became the focus. And, you know, suddenly this actor, this guy that in high heels that, you know, like to cross dress for the camera, you know, suddenly he was the you know, he went to Washington around Christmas time, just before Christmas, and gave a speech, and they were, you know, just touting how great this guy is, and you know, Zelensky, and he's the most evil puppet on earth, basically. Yeah. But anyway, the upshot is, yes, we have a multipolar world. Finally, the unipolar world is pretty much over, although there are neocons that are still trying to adhere to the reality that we still live in this U.S. control, you know, where the military might can pretty much control everything, as the globalists have used the U.S. military for a century now for imperialistic kind of control. But that is breaking down. And we do live now in a multipolar world, basically the global South nations, which is the majority of all countries with the majority population on this earth. They have said, okay, we're not going to buy into the, you know, European, North American, Western bullshit with all these sanctions. We're not going to do it because we don't think Russia's in the wrong here. You know, I mean, we can do a little backtracking with the whole thing in Ukraine. And from the very get-go in 1991, they said not 1 inch eastward. And yet now 13, 14, 15 countries in NATO, you know, and they all got their missiles pointed directly at Moscow. And so, you know, and right up to basically February, right up to that time, Putin was trying to just get with Europe and say, hey, let's talk about the national security here. We need to have secure borders. You know, I mean, everything that he was requesting was reasonable, but they turned it all around. The evil ones that are in control turned it all around, and unprovoked invasion, you know, standing up for democracy and Zelensky and all of it. Oh, man, the propaganda. Oh, it's sickening. You know, and then we got a whole bunch of, you know, mercenaries from Europe and America going over and even fighting against Russians in Ukraine. Yeah, but all of it's coming out, and that war is going to be over, I predict, by the end of the winter. There's major winter offensive that are just beginning now, and they're making big gains, and they will make bigger gains as time goes on. Ukraine is used up. That's the tragic part, are the people of Ukraine that are suffering, and the male population of Ukraine is being decimated. I mean, they're going after 13, 14, 15-year-old kids, boys, just to try and put them in a uniform and give them a gun. And then we're giving them all these weapons, the M1 Abrams tank and the 20 Leopard 2 from Germany. I mean, on and on. They just—it's such desperation. All of it is desperation, which is actually a good sign.
Yeah, they got to make the point. They got to be very careful, especially in this day and age, with these proxy wars, because what they allow is an opportunity to test your best equipment against your enemy's best equipment and see who wins. And if there's a clear advantage that manifests from that, then you get an escalation because one side or the other gets confident and says our equipment is better than their defenses, or, you know, vice versa. So in sending these M1 Abrams tanks over, you know, they've been used in the Gulf War. They really did not have, you know, much of an enemy that they were facing. They were facing very, you know, much older tanks, the T-72s. So the M1 Abrams, you know, really had no competition. Here, if they're going to face Russia, they're actually going to be tested against what Russia has to take them out. And the result of that is going to, I think that's why they're so careful right now about if committing those tanks, or the Germans with their Leopard tanks, because if it turns out that the Russians can simply dispatch those easily, well, that sends a really big message, right?
Very good point, Joe. I'd like to add to that. Can I add to that that, like Joe Olson, maybe you gentlemen also follow the channel, Brian Beletic channel, the new Atlas channel. Brian Beletic, like you, Joachim, he's ex-military. He worked on Abrams tanks in the military, and he made quite a good point. His broadcasts this past week were kind of mocking this whole notion that you can send over Abrams tanks to Ukraine and just have untrained soldiers occupy the tank and be effective. He said they're going to be more danger to themselves. And Brian Beletic was running through examples of what the dangers were. Even in military exercises with American trained personnel, there are deaths on board. You know, the complexity of these machines is incredible.
Yeah, they can't even be used. It takes years. Yeah, exactly.
It takes years to train people to use that. And he made the point that perhaps the idea that these tanks will not be manned by Ukrainians, but may be manned by NATO troops in disguise. And that's the biggest worry, isn't it? We are kind of seeing the kind of mission creep we saw in the Vietnam War, where we saw in the early 60s, Johnson was sending over troops as instructors. And those instructors soon became operational troops on the battlefield. And this is mission creep. This is the kind of thing I fear. And I like the idea of following the example of Brian Beletic. He said it's going to be at least a year before any Abrams tanks are dispatched and sent over. Same with the Leopard 2 tanks. He said that the Germans are saying it would take a year to get these tanks ready for the battlefield in Ukraine. So,
never
happen. It's never going to happen.
It's going to be over before they even use them.
An interesting article at Eurasia Times, July 18, 2021, how one of the world's most powerful main battle tanks, the Leopard 2, was decimated by ISIS in Syria. Yeah, Erdogan decided he'd do a land grab as long as everybody was grabbing land over there in northern Syria. And so he entered with a bunch of Leopard tanks. But he had air support from his planes. He didn't get any strike backs from the Syrian army, from the Iranians that were there, or from the U.S. forces. But the measly little ragtag ISIS was able to take out every one of those Leopard tanks. So they are not bulletproof, and they will certainly be shown to be not bulletproof. And Mick is really stupid to send these things into battle because nobody's going to want to fund them in the future. They're targets.
Yeah, Joe Olson, you're making a very good point. What we'll do is we'll come back to this issue right after the news. This is TNT Radio with Sky Dragon Slaying.